You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, brought to you by Exmark Manufacturing. 30 years of pioneering spirit and innovation have resulted in legendary durability, all-day comfort, and unmatched cut quality. Go check them out at Exmark.com. And Crest Commercial, introducing the 8-Minute Cyber System, the industry's first truly game-changing innovation in commercial battery-powered OPE. Professional landscapers can now replace their gas powered equipment without sacrificing performance, power, or runtime. For more information or to find a Crest dealer near you, visit Crest.com. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems in marketing, equipment, and customer service. Educational and motivational to help make your lawn care business an overwhelming success. Now here's your host, Julio Tomei.
Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 459, entitled Battery Equipment in the Rain. Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week, and of course, for the questions, the comments, and feedback that you guys send through each and every week. I really do appreciate that. I would ask a quick favor of you guys, if you are listening to the podcast on a regular basis. If you get value from it, whether you're learning something or just entertainment value or just company, while you're mowing lawns, listening to my voice, talking while you're out there working. If you could take a moment and leave a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, that would be absolutely much appreciated. Just help spread the word of the podcast and gets it out there to more and more people. So if you guys could take a moment to do that, like I said, would really appreciate that gesture. So this past week was a crazy, crazy wet week. Probably one of the wettest weeks that I've had to go through so far this season. Not like crazy, like heavy rain during work in terms of like that crazy little video I did last year just before the Equip Expo where I was finishing off a lawn and it was just like a river coming out of the sky with just the water like flowing down the street. And, you know, I had to finish the last lawn of the day. And luckily, I had decided to just go ahead and do it and get it done because it went on for a few hours with the really heavy rain. So nothing quite like that, but we have had just steady rain throughout the entire week. I've had multiple days of having to work from morning until the end of the day. Completely getting soaking wet throughout the day, just getting through lawns slowly, getting through them, especially currently. This is the hell month that I always refer to and talk about, and that's why it's that sort of intersection between having the warmer temperatures really starting on a consistent basis, really starting to get, you know, lawns growing. You've got, you know, fertilizer applications already for a few weeks now doing their thing. So lawns are really kicking into gear. But then you have that steady rain here in the Pacific Northwest where it can just rain a ton at times. And this past week is one of those things. So you are at times having to get through, you know, all this crazy growth in grass. And it's one of the reasons why I absolutely insist on doing weekly cuts. I don't take on any other types of cuts in my lawn care business. I don't do bi-weekly and 10 days and all that sort of stuff. I've talked about that in the past. And I put out a quick video on the weekend on my Instagram, if you follow me there, just showing my own backyard. Last week, the weather was fantastic. It was warm and sunny days and stuff. And I was just, as I've talked about as well, you know, coming off of being sick and all that stuff, I just had no energy by the end of the day of mowing lawns and stuff. So I had put off my own lawn mowing last week just because I was just too exhausted. But then the rain came. So because of the missed week, the growth was already, you know, getting pretty intense. Because I had done all the fertilizers and all that sort of stuff on my own lawn. I had been doing some repairs, some reseeding and things like that, especially in the backyard where the dogs had created a lot of damage during the winter months there, the beginning of this year, chasing them around. And so I had to reseed a bunch of areas. And so I was doing a bunch of work there in the backyard. So because of that, with the fertilizers and stuff, it was growing pretty intensely now that the weather's was good. And during that last week, where it was nice, warm, and sunny, I had turned on my sprinkler system, and I was watering the lawn every day. Because we've got the watering restrictions are going to be coming soon. So I said, you know, I seeded the lawn, you know, all that sort of stuff. So I'm like, I got to get this going, right? So that combination of warm weather, fertilizer, I was watering, all that sort of stuff. The lawn was growing like crazy. But I missed the mowing because I was just too tired after work of mowing everybody else's lawns and stuff like that, just being sick and all that. I put it off. And now this week, it turned into just crazy rain, and the rain is now supposed to continue into this next week coming up after this episode airs. So I haven't been able to mow it, even though I've been feeling better. I get out there and it's like literally like 6 to 8 inches tall, but it is soaking wet from just pouring rain and stuff, and there's barely been a break in the rain. In fact, I haven't, the last few days, I wasn't able to even walk my dog because it was just way too heavy rain out there. So she's been getting really antsy in the house and just destroying all her toys and stuff with all her pent up energy and stuff. So it's one of those things. So I, you know, going out to the backyard now, and you know, she'll go out to use the washroom, and you know, she's just a little beagle, but the grass is like up past her like belly when she's standing there. It's like so tall, so it gets crazy. So that's why for me, like, I insist on the weekly cuts for clients. I don't go, because at this time of year, you know, if a person only wants a bi-weekly cut or something like that, their main motivation is just saving money, right? And it's just so much work to get through. Even the weekly cuts is just so much work right now because it's just so damp all the time. Even when it's, you know, not raining like that week prior, when it was sunny days and stuff, you get the morning dew, and it still takes, you know, a few hours. So the first half of the day, those morning cuts are always wet grass. It's always damp. So, you know, this past week, especially looking at all of the things that I've been doing with the lawn mowing and just the weather and getting through it, and seeing that this past year, especially this season, I have transitioned completely to battery powered tools, except for those large mowers and specialty things like the aerator or the power rake and stuff like that. I still use my gas ones. I still get old Betsy out there. My Bluebird 424 aerator still is a champ. So I get, you know, I still use those select pieces for gas, but doing a lot of testing with the battery powered equipment. You know, I started using the mowers last summer. And, you know, the summer, of course, it's great to use the mowers and stuff like that, but isn't really a true test because the growth has slowed down. And then going into the fall, the growth does pick up a bit, but it's still not the same as hell month, right? Nothing really compares to hell month. So, you know, doing the leaf cleanups and all that stuff, those are all different conditions. It's all different things, but nothing truly compares to hell month here in the Pacific Northwest. I always say, you know, if a mower or a piece of equipment can handle it here, During this period of time in the Pacific Northwest, it'll be able to mow anywhere in North America if it can handle the conditions here at this time, because it's just so challenging. It is, you know, absolutely the worst conditions to be mowing lawns in when they're growing crazy and just soaking wet in the middle of like a rainstorm. So it's one of those things. So I've been doing a lot of, testing, been staying true to it in terms of, just using battery every day, going with the battery mowers and using that. And they don't, there's no issue with power-wise with the battery mowers. They have more than enough torque to get through. The biggest difference with using a gas mower versus using a battery mower is that when you get to these tough conditions, you're going to have to make some changes that clearly will impact the amount of power or how many lawns you can do on a particular battery. So, for example, I'll use the Crest mower as an illustration of this. So the Crest mower, when you buy it, has a high efficiency blade on it, literally just like a flat blade. There's no like wings or anything on it to create airflow or anything like that. It's just a straight blade to cut. Works fantastic during those normal growing conditions when you're just cutting like an inch or two off a lawn. Fantastic bags, no problem, all that sort of stuff. Once you get into the fall, with fall leaves and stuff, it wasn't enough, didn't create enough suction to be able to vacuum leaves off the lawn. It would cut the lawn, but leave the leaves kind of behind. So I had to go to a high lift blade. So installed the high lift blade, and then that immediately increased the suction with the mower, but would then impact how many lawns I could do. So on that high efficiency blade, I was able to do like 10 lawns on the one large, like 11 amp hour battery. When I went to the high lift blade, that dropped it to about 7 lawns. And this is mowing on the low power. The Crest has 2 power settings. So it's got the low and like full power setting. So on the low power setting, able to get through the lawns and, do the leaf cleanups and all that stuff. And with a high lift blades, but would drop how many lawns I could do because it's consuming more power now that there's more, resistance on the blades with that airflow and those wings, right? It's not as aerodynamic as a flat blade just cutting through the wind when you have those little wings on the blade to create that airflow, right? So it's creating more turbulence and stuff in there, which is making the motor work harder and requires more power to get through. So would drop the power. So now here we go into hell month, and this past week was the first really true test of these battery mowers. And with the Crest, with these lawns that are growing super tall, soaking wet in the middle of the rain and stuff, it would depend on the lawn and the growth. So it's been about a 50-50 number, I would say, between lawns. Like 50% of the lawns that I do, I'm able to mow with the high lift blades on the low power setting still, and it will be fine. On those lawns where that growth has just exploded, and like the ones that I'm, and now that I'm thinking about it, this kind of translates to the fact that about 50% of my lawns get fertilizer and the other 50% don't. So that's probably where that is coming from. So like the lawns that are not getting fertilized, I can continue to mow here in the wet grass with the high lift blades on the low setting, but the ones that got fertilized where the growth has exploded, and I'm getting there, the low power setting isn't enough. So it cuts, but the problem is it doesn't throw, because I have to collect the grass, bag the grass, it can't throw the heavy grass in far enough back into the bag. So it starts to accumulate there in the chute section of the mower between the deck and the bag there. So it starts to build up there, and then eventually it clogs. So you don't get very much grass collected in the bag because it almost immediately starts to go because it's just so long and so heavy. So I've had to bump up the power setting to the full power mode, which would be probably the, of course, most similar to a gas mower, because a gas mower, you don't have power settings. You just turn it on and it's always at the full, full RPM. So on an electric motor, you can vary that RPM. So on the full power mode, absolutely bags, no problem with the high lift blades through the wet grass in the pouring rain. No issue there. The issue though is that full power mode with high lift blades takes another hit in terms of battery power for how long or how much power that it's consuming. So I go then from that 7 lawns of mowing on low with high lift blades to then 4 lawns that I can mow on a full battery with full power with high lift blades, right? So absolutely varies. So that's why it's always interesting when people ask me questions about, you know, when I'm testing these battery mowers, like, how long does the battery last? How long? It completely varies. There's no right answer to give somebody. I can just give sort of my experiences, with the regular blade during normal dry conditions, 10 lawns I can do on that battery. But in the absolute worst conditions, pouring rain, tall grass, 4 lawns on full power with high lift blades. So it completely varies. So that's one of the things you have to take into consideration when or if you are thinking about transitioning to battery, is that whatever like sort of the toughest conditions are that you will be mowing in, and kind of plan around that in terms of how many batteries you need or how you're going to maybe do some onboard charging for batteries or things like that to have them. Have enough batteries, because of course as you get into the easier conditions, then you'll have more than enough batteries if you have enough to deal with the tough conditions and get through a day. Then it's absolutely not an issue. But I on one of the days last week, it was the Thursday, I believe, because one of the questions I always get from people when I'm like doing YouTube videos and things like that, talking about battery equipment, is the rain and using battery equipment in the rain. You know, that's been my biggest challenge as well. Up till this point, I was dabbling and using like the Milwaukee stuff and using their system in terms of like the trimmers and the hedge trimmers and blowers and things like that for battery equipment. And the biggest thing with theirs is, at least the equipment that I have, is that there's stickers on them with a big rain cloud and a big red X, right? So no rain, no wet weather. And I think that's probably because of the fact that they're more of a tool brand where, you know, they have their battery platform that was originally, you know, intended for drills circular saws and that sort of stuff, carpentry type tools and things like that. Then they went into mechanic tools and stuff, all, you know, most likely trades that are in drier conditions, not always, but in the most part. So, you know, as they added different product lines, plumber tools and things like that, all using the same battery platform, which is fantastic. It's one of the things I love about Milwaukee, is that, you know, there's, you know, 200 or 300 tools that all use the same type of batteries that make it really easy to have one battery platform and have all these tools. But as they got into outdoor power equipment, they're still using those same batteries, right? Those same batteries that are not weather rated. Essentially. So I think that's part of what it comes down to. And because those batteries aren't weather rated, then there's not really a point in weather rating the tools themselves as well, because they don't have a battery line that is weather rated. So why would they go to the trouble of making the tools weather rated as well? So that was my biggest challenge the past few years, was that when I forced myself to use the battery stuff, just to kind of plan ahead, knowing that, you know, eventually there's going to be a ban on gas, you know, equipment and all that stuff. You already start to see it all around in certain areas. And so I thought, you know what, I want to get ahead of the curve and kind of figure that out now before I'm forced to, and then have to deal with problems, you know, if I'm forced to at the end to do a switch, and you know, I'm reluctant to do it and all that sort of stuff. And then things kind of, I'd rather do it now, figure it out, and have the gas equipment that I can still use if I need to. And, you know, last year that was one of those things. I was using the Milwaukee stuff on those nice sunny days, but as soon as the weather changed and we get wet and stuff, I'd have to switch to the gas powered stuff. Going to the Crest equipment has been the biggest change last summer, because their equipment is weather rated. So we're going to get into that, talk a little bit about those ratings, and then I'm going to share some tips that I shared in the video I put out this past week about the same thing, about battery, using batteries in the rain. When I filmed myself on that Thursday, you can see just how wet it was, how nasty it was. But I thought I would talk about this in a podcast episode as well, because not everybody watches the YouTube videos. So I don't want the guys that only listen to the podcast to miss out on the tips and stuff as well, and go from there. Because, you know, even if you don't mow in the rain, there's going to be times where you have to mow wet grass, whether it's morning dew or somebody's had their irrigation on, things like that. I've had customers like that in the past that kind of drove me a little bit bonkers, but part of it was because of the watering restrictions, and that was like their watering day. So, you know, I would show up, and, you know, even though it was a nice sunny day, it was like every week I was mowing wet grass, the same as if it had rained, because they had their sprinklers on, and the sprinkling times was like early morning was the only time you were allowed. So by the time I showed up, sprinklers were off, but everything was soaking wet every week, because that's just how it went. That was the only day they were allowed to water, the only time they were allowed to water. So there may be situations like that that you encounter, and also you know, for guys as well, that you know, maybe you have an open trailer and your equipment is on something like Equipment Defender racks and stuff like that. And by the way, if you guys are interested in Equipment Defender racks, just a quick reminder, you can get 10% off by using my discount code LCBS10. There's a link in the podcast show notes, I believe, for that. But that'll save you 10% off of Equipment Defender racks. Yeah, you can do that if you want. Just thought I'd throw that out there since we're talking about Equipment Defender racks, might as well. But if you're transporting your equipment on something like Equipment Defender racks on an open trailer, then you may encounter rainstorms and things like that, right? So you don't want to be caught with equipment that can't handle being out in the rain, even if you're not particularly, you know, planning on mowing in the rain. A lot of you guys I've seen will be mowing on, you know, nice days, and it starts to rain, and so then, you know, you head home for the day. Well, there's that travel time getting home, that equipment is exposed to the elements. So you want to make sure that you've got you know, equipment that is rated for that. So I'm just gonna play the podcast ads, and then we'll get into it right after this, so stay tuned.
Summer showers, dust that chokes, acres that just won't end. Exmark knows the job of a landscape professional isn't an easy one. That's why we've crafted a legendary line of mowers built to overcome any obstacle, so you're ready to close the deal and finish the job, like you always do. Cut from the same red metal as your Exmark mower, you aren't just good at this. You were built for this.
Cress is leading the transition from gas-powered lawn equipment for professional use with the industry's first truly game-changing innovation in battery-powered OPE. The Cress 8-Minute Cyber System allows Cress-made 60-volt batteries to fully charge in 8 minutes or less. Now, professional landscapers can replace their gas-powered equipment without sacrificing performance, power, or runtime. And with a full line of equipment benchmarked against gas-powered products, landscapers can finally take charge of their business and make the switch to battery. For more information or to find a dealer near you, visit Cress.com. Cress, we power the professionals.
All right. So when using battery equipment in the rain or planning a purchase buy battery equipment, you always want to, think about wet weather, whether you're going to be mowing in the rain or just in case you're caught out in the rain, whether you're mowing or not, but it's just equipment's being transported on a trailer that's maybe an open trailer and stuff and exposed to the elements or that sort of stuff. Or, you know, there may be times where the weather's cloudy and you're out there mowing and, you know, it starts raining and you just want to finish that particular job that you're in before you wrap up and call it a day. So those are all real scenarios. Not everybody's going to be forced to mow in the rain all day long, like I am, just because of the area that I'm in, the region that I'm in the Pacific Northwest. You know, this is a rainforest that I live in, essentially, or was before the concrete jungle got built. But that doesn't affect the weather, right? The weather still is what it is, right? It's the temperate rainforest, so it's wet all the time, pretty much. So you want to, a lot of companies will address the sort of weatherproofing in a couple ways. Either there'll be no weather rating at all. So this will be equipment that is just intended to be used dry weather. A lot of times this is residential only, or sometimes commercial, but really, you know, if it's commercial, it should really, I believe, have a weather rating on it. Now, some companies will have, Steel that has like little pouches or jackets and stuff for the batteries if it's pouring rain. So they'll have, like a clear little plastic cover or something that you put over the batteries and stuff to protect them. And that is, I guess, a way to use them in the rain, but obviously it's not ideal to do that because you've got to deal with the plastic and make sure it's, you know, always in good condition, that there's not cracking or tearing and stuff in it, and making sure that water's not seeping off of it. For example, on this past Friday, I've been working through, like I said, aerations and all that sort of stuff, doing some fertilizers, and it was raining lightly. And first job of the day, pull out the fertilizer spreader, and I'm using the Spiker Ergo Pro 50, and it's got the clear kind of plastic cover with the sort of fabric sides around it, that kind of with the elastic that kind of tightly goes on the top. So I quickly took the fertilizer, spread it out, put the fertilizer in, put the cover on it, and then, you know, started to fertilize in the rain. And it was, spreading fine. And then about part way through the backyard, I started to notice that it was starting to not throw as well. And this is merely to the fact that, the plastic covers plastic in the middle, but it has the fabric kind of sides that stretch for the elastic. And that was getting wet and saturated, and water was working its way into the fertilizer spreader and starting to dissolve some of the fertilizer pellets at the bottom, causing it to clump up. Jackets and things like that, you know, if you're thinking about batteries and stuff and covering, it's sort of the same thing. You got to make sure you're still managing. So that isn't, for me, the ideal solution. You want to be able to have batteries that are completely waterproof as well. So that's where the Crest stuff comes in. Has been a game changer for me here in the Pacific Northwest, is because of their weather rating. So all electronics have an IPX, should have an IPX rating. Even if it's not stated, it's still going to have an IPX rating, but it's an so for example, if it's not weatherproof at all and they don't advertise an IPX rating, it still has an IPX rating. It's just an IPX rating of 0. So an IPX rating is a rating on a scale of 0 to 8 that can give you sort of a brief overview of how how water and dust resistant something is. with all things, whether it's a smartwatch, a smartphone, all sort of stuff, you start to recognize some IPX ratings that are talked about in spec sheets and technical specs and all that sort of stuff. And so the IPX, you'll notice it'll say IPX and then it'll have a number. If it's just a single number, like 0 through 8, 0 IPX 1, IPX 2, IPX 3, IPX 4, all the way to 8, that is referring to the water resistance of that electronic device. If you see something that has a two-digit number, like IPX67, that first number, that 6, is the water-resistant number. The 7, that second digit, is the dust-resistant number. So, and what I mean by dust-resistant is, I'm sure a lot of you guys remember, like, before iPhones and Android phones and stuff were like waterproof and all that sort of stuff. Those older models, those first generation models, even going back to like old flip phones and pagers, like way, way back, we'd all experience, you'd look down at your screen after a few months and there'd be dust underneath the screen, because it wasn't, sealed. So you'd have it in your pocket or whatever the case may be, and dust would eventually work its way into the device and under the, you'd see it under the screen. So that's why there's that dust ingress level as well in the IPX rating if it's a two-digit number. But we're concerned about just that first number, if it has the two numbers, and if most likely we'll just have the one number, the first digit, which is the water rating. So we'll just go through the list briefly. So IPX0 means it has no water protection at all. Do not get it wet. IPX1 is it's protected against condensation or dripping water falling vertically. IPX2 means it's protected against spraying water when tilted up to 15 degrees vertically. IPX3 means that it's protected against spraying water when tilted up to 60 degrees vertically. So basically, this is devices that if they got, spraying water on them, as long as they were tilted and that water is like running off, then it's fine. But if it were like sitting in a certain position and the water is, able to sit on it for a bit, then it's not going to be water resistant. IPX4 is protected against splashing water from any angle. And you'll notice here, doesn't matter what angle it's on, right? So the water can be splashed on, it can sit on it and all that sort of stuff. It's not going to be an issue. IPX5 is protected against low pressure water streams from any angle. So now this is not just splashing water. This is, water coming from a garden hose or something, gently at it sort of thing. It's not going to affect it. IPX6 is protected against high pressure water streams from any angle. IPX7 is protected against water immersion. So IPX7 is where you're going to start to see things like the latest smartphones, where you can have, the device go underwater. So IPX7 is allowed to be underwater for up to 30 minutes at a depth of only 1 meter. So anything over 1 meter deep, it's going to work its way into the device because with water, the deeper you go, the more that water pressure creates pressure on those seals where it can work its way in. And then IPX8 is protected against continual water submersion in underwater conditions. So basically IPX8 is take it scuba diving, right? Go to any depth you want for as long as you want. It's not going to make a difference. It's not going to allow that water in. The seals are that good sort of thing, right? So like I said, most smartphones you're going to see in that IPX7 rating, things like the Apple Watch, depending on the generation or the model, some will be that IPX7 rating where you can put it underwater for like 30 minutes at only, 1 meter. But, if you get like the higher end Apple Watches, then that say like they're swim proof, then they're IPX8 rated, right? Where you can take them scuba diving and all that sort of stuff as well. So the Crest commercial lineup of tools, all of the commercial Crest commercial stuff, their actual tools. So the mower, the trimmer, the commercial backpack blower, all that commercial line stuff is all IPX4 rated. So protected against splashing water from any angle. So, you know, basically in the rain, you don't have an issue. Now, Crest's batteries, they take it one step further. So the Crest batteries are IPX5 rated. So they're protected against low pressure water streams from any angle. So essentially, you could hose off a battery, for example, with, and it says low pressure. So let's say, a hose without like the hose nozzle on it, right? So it's just the stream of water coming on it, sort of thing. So just a gentle stream of water coming over it, and it should be fine. So that's why you'll see with the Crest commercial stuff, whether it's the backpack blower or the string trimmers, or even if you're using sort of like the backpack harness to reduce some weight on some of the tools, where you can put the battery on your back, it's just the battery. It's out there exposed right there. And that's how, for me, I can get out there and use the Crest equipment like this past week in the pouring rain and not have to worry about the batteries. Now, if you've seen the Crest stuff up close with the batteries, you'll notice that they clip in from the top down, whether it's on the string trimmer, on the backpack harness, or on the backpack blower. And there's sort of like an interlocking kind of slide where the battery clips in. So the contacts are protected from the rain because the battery slides down with the contacts of the battery. And there's sort of like a kind of a perimeter, kind of like a little cavity that those contacts are in, and it slides up over, we'll call it like, on the battery, we'll call it like the female end of that connection. And on the tool is like the male end. It kind of protrudes out with the contacts so that they fit into itself. So even though when you look at that piece of equipment, you see the batteries that clipped in, there's no like rubber seal or anything around that. The actual contacts where the battery is mated against the tool are actually covered from any rain that were to find its way through that joint, through that seep, right? It's the same as kind of like, think about like vinyl siding on a house, right? If rain is falling down from the top down, or shingles on a roof, same example, as long as the water is coming from the top rolling down, because those joints overlap, the water is always moving in that down direction because of gravity. But if the water were to go upwards, vinyl siding or on a roof, then it could find its way technically underneath the shingles or underneath the siding of a house, because that's not how that system is designed. So it's the same with the batteries, right? The way you're using that tool with rain falling down on it, that joint where it connects is protected. And then essentially and that would be important only because it's a sort of a mating surface, and there's electricity flowing between those two sources. So as long as the it's there, obviously the battery on its own still has that IPX5 rating. So if the battery is out exposed, and gets that splash of water, it's not going to do anything there. You just got to be careful. Like I pointed out in the video, is the only thing I check for is if I'm going to charge the battery and the battery is soaking wet. That inside surface, once I take it off the tool, that part that was matted where the connections are, it's always dry there because of the way that connection works. But my only concern is the rest of the battery is wet. And as I'm carrying the battery, water could, from the outside of the battery, kind of drip, and find its way to those contacts. So I always just visually look to make sure, oh, yes, it's still dry. I don't dry off the battery or anything like that when I put it on the charger, because it's still that same connection. But I just make sure that in the transportation of that battery to the charger that water has not gotten to those contacts at the time, just so that there's no shorting out or anything like that, is the only thing that I check for. But in terms of the batteries being in the rain and all that sort of stuff, is no issue. Now, what makes this even more fascinating is that if you have ever seen the Kresh commercial batteries, whether it's the large battery or the smaller, like 4 amp hour batteries, is that they all have vents on them. They have these big screens on them that you can, dust screens that you can actually take off and clean, because they have, whether they either have a fan built into the battery, which I can't be 100% sure if there's a fan in the battery or if it's just a fan in the charger, that allows when it's doing, you know, those incredibly sort of fast charges, because you can hear a fan ramping up. So I'm pretty sure it's on the battery itself. So it's actually cooling the battery as it's charging. So it's got those vents and stuff. So when you think about that, it's got these vents on these batteries that are exposed to the rain as well. And still, yet they are IPX5 rated for a stream of water, which is just absolutely fantastic to think about. So when you're looking for equipment for your lawn care business, thinking about going battery, this is one of those things you have to think about, is how does that equipment handle rain or wet situations, even if you don't plan on mowing in the rain. So for example, if you use a brand that has to have like the jackets or things on the batteries and protecting it that way, you have to make sure that you have those jackets, that you have those pouches with you, because if you're driving and all of a sudden the skies open up and rain starts pouring and you've got an open trailer with that stuff on there, you're going to have to pull over, get those jackets on, all that sort of stuff, cover it up, or make sure that you're always taking the batteries off, putting them in the truck and stuff while you're transporting, whatever the case, however you want to handle that part of it. But it's just something to be aware of, you know, depending on your whatever system you're using. And then with other tools, if they don't have a weather rating at all, for example, like with me using the Milwaukee stuff that I have now, this might change over time. Maybe they will add weather rating stuff, but for now, as far as I know, they're not rated for wet weather. So I still love the Milwaukee stuff. I still enjoy it, but I use it only on days that the weather is cooperating, the weather is dry, that I can use and take those out. Now, if I go out and say using the Milwaukee, like I said, I would use the Milwaukee string trimmer and stuff like that, and it was pouring rain, obviously I wouldn't be using it in the pouring rain. I would use the gas stuff, but I loved the Milwaukee stuff so much that I would take out the string trimmer with me, you know, last year, and with the gas stuff. And as soon as it stopped raining, I would switch back to using the Milwaukee, because the trimmer head can get wet. The trim, you know, it's just the battery and the motor at the top part of it, right? And as long as it wasn't actively raining, then I could use it. It, you know, wasn't getting wet. Even if the grass was soaking wet and all that sort of stuff, that part of it didn't matter. It was just more with in regards to the batteries with that particular system. So you just got to work around that. And for me, it wasn't an issue, because the stuff I use the most with that brand is the, especially this year, going using the Crest and stuff now, I'm using mostly the Quick Lock system, you know, using those new 8-inch pruning shears, the telescoping pruning shears, and all that stuff. And those are all jobs that I plan around my mowing route anyway. So I'm not doing those on mowing days. I'm doing those on the Mondays and Fridays that I do those extra jobs for. And I can plan around that, plan around not using that stuff in the rain. I never promise clients what day I'm doing those types of jobs. I just say I'm putting it on the list, so I can easily work around those types of things and use what works for those conditions. and work around that. So that's another little tip that you can use for that sort of thing. So now that we got, you know, it's definitely something you have to think about. Now here's a another kind of a quick tip as well, is just because a company has some waterproof ratings, and again, I'll use Crest as the example, it doesn't mean all of their stuff is waterproof. So with that Crest commercial line, you have that IPX4 rating on all the tools, you have the IPX5 rating on all of the batteries, but Crest also has a prosumer or residential line. With those, if you go to their website, if you go to their website and you look at their commercial stuff, clearly every piece of equipment, every battery you look at on the commercial side, if you go to the technical specs, it tells you that IPX number. If I go to the prosumer side, then they don't give a specific IPX rating that I could find. Now, obviously, some of this stuff, now it might be just the batteries don't have that full IPX rating, because, you know, I think about the snowblower, that dual stage snowblower that's in their prosumer line. Clearly in the snow, that equipment is going to get wet, whether it's melting snow, whether it's wet snow that's actively falling. That equipment's getting wet. Now the batteries in that are protected. They're inside the cover with the cover closed and all that sort of stuff. So it may be just, something similar to that. They may have that rating, but they don't advertise the rating. Not that I could find, at least. So you just have to do your due diligence, and I'll try to find out if there is an IPX rating on their prosumer stuff, but I couldn't find, at least not clearly written on their website, whereas their commercial line all clearly states the IPX ratings for their commercial equipment, which is what most of you guys are going to be looking at if you're interested as well, because there's just so many benefits to their commercial line versus the residential line that makes it, I think, a better way to go with that sort of stuff. Just the warranty, alone, with the 3,000 charge cycles is, 6-year warranty on batteries. That's just crazy, right? So it's could be just one of those things where there's just a bunch of more benefits to that commercial line versus the residential line. And a waterproof rating might be one of those differentiating factors between those two. So you have to do your due diligence with that sort of stuff, right? And look at whichever line you're looking at, whichever brand you're looking at, what is the rating for that? Because you don't want to, ruin expensive batteries in the rain, right? There's no sense in doing that. It wouldn't make any sense to go and invest so much money into these battery systems and battery platforms that can be, pretty costly to buy into and get into, and then use them in conditions that could possibly damage them if they're not rated for that. So I think that's probably my favorite thing for me with the Crest stuff, is I just don't have to worry about it here, where rain is such a normal part of work and life, is that I don't want to have to deal with it. I don't want to have to worry about putting jackets on and things like that. It's the closest I've been able to get to gas-powered equipment with battery equipment has been the Crest, because of that, because of just not worrying about the rain and all that sort of stuff, and the batteries giving such good runtime and all that sort of stuff. So next, I want to just share some quick tips on if you have to mow wet grass, what's some best ways to do it. And keep in mind, this is predominantly for small mowers, the small push mowers and stuff like that, because that's what I'm predominantly doing. With big mowers, I try to bag as well. Depending on the mowers, over the years, I have had different results. For large mowers, this is why I love the integrated bagger front, out front mowing type systems, like the Walker mowers or the Exmark Navigator that I currently use. Having that whole bagger system built in with the big, huge powered blower that's in it without having to add any of that stuff. It's all built into one. Is why I love those mowers, because I can do those larger properties, bag in these wet conditions, and it has that powered bagger to get those clippings into that rear hopper without any issues. And then it has the flip-up deck that allows for cleaning the deck when there's clogs and things like that, if you absolutely had to, or in between lawns or whatever. It just makes it so much easier to do that sort of stuff. So that's why those mowers for me are pretty stellar. Next on the list is the walk behind mower, right? That older turf tracer that I have is very lightweight. So on lawns where that navigator would just be too heavy because of prolonged days of rain, making the ground soft and stuff, you know, I can go from that 1,000-pound navigator, probably over 1,000 pounds with me sitting on it, and then as wet grass is being collected and all that sort of stuff, probably, you know, getting into like 1,500 pounds or whatever the case may be, to, you know, that older turf tracer that I have is in the 400-pound mark. And I can use a Salke behind it, or I can walk behind it to make it even lighter, to make it float a bit better than having to pull me and having to dig in as it's, you know, trying to gain traction to pull me on a Salke behind it. If I walk behind it, it makes it even lighter. I can put the side, I like that cloth side bagger. The cloth is much lighter than, say, like an aluminum metal bagger kit, because it's just a wire frame with a cloth on it, the same as like a 21-inch mower. It goes right on the side of the bagger kit, so the bagger is not having to, or the deck is not having to push clippings into or up a tube or whatever the case may be. It's just basically like side discharging, but side discharging into a bag. Now, this works well up to the lawn not being, you know, crazy tall. It'll get it in there. Once the lawn gets too crazy tall and it's soaking wet in the middle of rain, then even that doesn't bag properly, because it doesn't throw the grass all the way to the back. It will start to clog up pretty quickly as it just fills in that first few feet of the bag. And then you're constantly having to, empty out a bag that's only like a third full or so, because it's starting to clog up. The grass is just too heavy to be pushed out to the back. Now, that might be partly due to, because I've got, I've always run the Gator mulch blades on the turf tracer, so I can sort of handle any sort of condition there. Whether it's, you know, debris on the lawns, and I'm switching from side discharge to bagging and stuff like that. But I've actually been experimenting with some client lawns this year. I started a couple years ago with the large commercial property, just doing side discharging all the time, and noticed that was actually turning out really well from week to week. I still obviously go to the navigator and use that from time to time as well, whenever I've got it on there, but I have no issue being able to side discharge. So I actually started experimenting with a client lawn, just a more nicer lawn, and side discharging as well. There was one really nasty day. It was just growing like crazy, and it was wet and raining, and it just, you know, I was having to stop every few feet to try to empty the bag because it was clogging. So I just got kind of fed up, took the bag off, took the bracket off right there, and then just started side discharging it. And then I looked at the end, and I was like, it looks fantastic. Like, you can't even see the clippings. It does so well. And I think maybe partly because there's no grass flap or anything on the sides, just a wide open deck. And I have the Gator mulch blade, so it's very fine, the clippings that are coming out of it. So it did fantastic. It was only maybe less than six little clumps in the lawn that I quickly, you know, just took the blower after and dispersed them. So I knocked on the door, told the client, and they were like, yeah, we were kind of wondering. We saw kind of like the cloud of like mist coming out of the side of the mower from all the rain and stuff. But they're like, if you hadn't, or if we weren't home and you hadn't come to tell us, we wouldn't have known the difference. It looks fine, right? And they're like, she said, what were her words exactly? She said something like, it actually doesn't make any difference to us. We don't have a dog or anything like that we're worried about clipping. She says, if you want it, always side discharge. She says, you know, go for it. She's like, it's probably healthier for the lawn anyways too. And I was like, yeah, it actually is and stuff. But, you know, most people around here are really picky and want the clippings taken, right? So it's been about 3 weeks now that I've been side discharging that one. And we'll see how that goes through here this hell month and stuff. Though last week when I went to go look at it, it was like, it looked fantastic. There was like no traces of it. Now, I don't know. I wasn't there, obviously, you know, a few days after the mow, if there was anything showing, but by the time I went there the following week, you could still see the stripes and stuff, and there was no traces of any grass clippings on the lawn or anything like that. So I will continue to experiment there, but that's one of the other things I've been doing, is just side discharging when it's been soaking wet and rainy. But when in regards to the small mowers and small mowing, the most important thing is cleaning the deck. Now, this is obviously easy on a small 21-inch mower, even easier on a battery mower, because you don't have to worry about venting systems and fuel and oil and, you know, all that sort of stuff. You can just turn the mower on its side, no issue. Some mowers will have a safety key that you can pull out to ensure that, you know, nothing's going to turn on. The Crest has a bit of a different, like with the Exmark Commercial 21, it has like the safety key in the middle of the button. It actually pops out. And you'll notice on the inside, it has these tabs that have to kind of press these two electronic contacts to kind of complete the circuit. So without that there, it's not going to start. With the Crest, you have to hold down the start bail while simultaneously holding down the blade start button after you've pressed the power on button. So it's a bit of a sequence to get the machine going. So very unlikely it's going to turn on. But even so, in case of a malfunction, one of the things that I do with the battery mowers is I just pop the battery out when I flip it on its side. That way I know for sure it's not going to start. With the Crest, very easy. Just open the flap, pull the mower or the battery slightly out, just like an inch or so, so it's not making contact. Flip it on its side, or actually do that already when it's on its side. Just pull the battery out slightly, and then I have no worries, right? Just gives you extra peace of mind. With a pair of gloves on, I use like nitrile dipped gloves, just like the cotton gloves that have like the black kind of rubberized coating on the palms. I use those. Those are fantastic because, you know, the part that I'm touching, wet grass and stuff like that, is the part that has that rubberized coating, but it leaves the tops of the hands with the knit part so they're breathable. You don't get all sweaty and nasty. So as long as you're keeping on top of this, the grass just comes right off, right? I'm not leaving caked on grass there that is then drying and building up and turning into dirt and all that sort of stuff, like you see some people over time of not cleaning the decks. If you're cleaning it on a regular basis, daily basis, it just all wipes right down. You're right down to bare metal. It's like a, you know, nice and clean. So I just do that really quickly. It takes like 30 seconds literally to wipe the deck down, flip it over and go to the next house. That's going to make a huge difference. Keep that deck clean. On some other mowers where it's not so difficult. Now we're talking more about battery mowers in this particular episode, but even with something large like the Commercial 30 and stuff like that, where it wasn't as easy to flip on its side because of the way the deck sticks out past the wheels and stuff like that. You have to kind of tilt it on its handles, which isn't as convenient because then you have to figure out a way to support the mower while it's in thing. With that mower, because it was just built like a tank, I would just bounce the mower up and down and knock the grass clippings, knock the bulk of them off onto the ground, and then just clean that up and go from there. But the key is just to get as much of that out of the deck as possible once it starts clogging. The next thing that you can do, of course, is high lift blades, especially if you're bagging grass in a small mower. Have to use the high lift blades to create that suction to get enough of that airflow to go into the rear of the unit so that it bags. Another clear tip is raising the pitch. This is something I discovered years ago when using Honda mowers that have like the four different height adjustments, like each wheel is independent height adjustment. was whatever height I was at mowing. If I was like doing a 2.5 inch mow and all four wheels were set at 2.5 inches, if you get into like really tough conditions like rain or leaf cleanups or things like that, and you just need extra suction, you need it to bag better, is just to raise the rear wheels a slight notch. So one notch, the more you raise it, the more airflow it's going to create. But then the more you raise it, the more it could affect the look of the cut. So I just like going just one notch up. I find that is perfectly well, and it doesn't affect the overall look of the cut. You're still cutting at 2.5 inches because the front is set at 2.5 inches. So it just very slightly, changes, but it creates a bit of a gap on the rear underneath the deck, which allows it to suck in air from there to create more airflow. This is something actually that Exmark engineers, a tip they shared with me as well. And I was talking to them going, yeah, that's something that I actually discovered using small mowers over the years. And it's interesting because now Exmark has implemented a system like that onto their like large Laser Zs and stuff like that, where you can actually change the pitch of the deck. So you can tilt the deck forward or backwards for those different conditions. Because that little bit of fine tuning can really make a massive difference in if the deck is clogging or if it's bagging more or whatever the case may be, because it's all about airflow to get those heavy conditions, those leaves, those wet grass clippings, all that stuff into the back deck makes a massive difference. So if you're like, say, for example, mowing wet grass or doing a leaf cleanup, and you're mowing and it's constantly clogging and you're going 5 feet or something like that, and the mower is just like bogging down all stuff, and you just raise that rear, like you can literally, it's like night and day. It'll go much farther before it starts to clog and stuff, just because of that extra airflow flying through there. And the last tip that I wanted to share is something that I actually forgot to share in the video. Actually, there's two tips. So the other thing that I do is if I'm bagging with rear grass, and this is something that I did share in that video, is I watch the inflation of the bagger, right? So when you turn on the blades on a bagger, and this, I do the same with the turf tracer. If I am, bagging with that cloth bagger, is when you turn on the blades, you see that bag plump up, right? It fills up like a balloon as the airflow is going. As I'm mowing, even in dry conditions, as soon as that bag gets completely full, then obviously the chute gets clogged, right? Because it's completely full of grass clippings, even like on a dry, sunny day. So then the bag deflates. It loses the airflow going through it because now the bag is full. And that's when I know I have to go and empty the bag. So the same thing in rain and wet conditions is, even if it's not going to bag fully because of the conditions, because it's heavy and all that sort of stuff, and say it only bags a third of the grass on the turf tracer or whatever the case may be, I'm watching that inflation. As the bag is empty and I hit those blades, that bag inflates, and I start mowing, and as soon as it starts to clog a little bit, I can see the bag starting to sag, starting to go, and then eventually it just drops completely, and I know, okay, now the chute's blocked, right? So I got to stop, empty out the bag and stuff, and you'll see all the heavy wet grasses right there at the chute opening, and that's why no more airflow is going. So the same thing with the small mowers, when I turn on the blades, I'm always watching the bag on the back, seeing is it plumped up like a balloon, or is it deflated and kind of saggy looking, because then you know that it needs to be cleared or cleaned or whatever the case may be. Now, the last tip that I'm going to share is, again, in reference to the bag. And that is, again, airflow is king. So high lift blades, all that sort of stuff. So one of the other things that can prevent airflow is that cloth bagger getting saturated with water because of the mesh or knit of the fabric being so fine, which is fantastic for, say, dust control versus using an aluminum like accelerator box type metal catcher that has like the big drilled holes, right? You're going to get way more dust through those aluminum catchers versus the actual cloth bag because of the smaller holes. But when it comes to rain, because the cloth gets saturated, it clogs up those holes. And then you start to get wet grass sticking to the sides of it as well. And now with the aluminum catchers, it can happen just the same with wet grass, because wet grass will stick to the insides of the catcher. When I was using the old accelerator, they used to make the accelerator for the Honda HRC 216. I still have it, actually. It was the same thing. I used that all the time because it was fantastic in the rain because of the big holes. It allowed more airflow to go through. Over time, though, it eventually would start to clog as well, because the insides would be a big coating of grass, wet grass stuck to the side. So I'd have to take my scraper that I'd have for cleaning my deck. I would take that and scrape the insides of the aluminum catcher to clear out the sides so that the airflow would flow again. Now, on the cloth baggers, it's much the same. The cloth will actually clog quicker because it doesn't even actually need the grass. Even the rain, if it's raining heavy enough and the cloth is wet enough, it starts to impede that airflow. So one of the things that you can do is just take your blower after each lawn and just blow the bag from the outside in. So with it still on the mower, just walk around the mower and just blow the fabric on the bag towards the inside of the bag, and that just shakes off that water into the inside of the bag and just gets it kind of those pores, I guess you could call it, free of water again to make the airflow good again for the next little while. And it's not something you have to do all the time, but you will notice through those really, really nastiest conditions, toughest conditions, that can happen. This may be something also that could be an issue if you transport those mowers like on an open trailer or something like that, because you're driving down the road and rain and stuff is more forcefully entering the mesh and the bag and stuff like that. Just more of a could be potentially an issue there. That's the last sort of tip there. You can also much the same, you'll notice when you, if you blow the bag, that any of that, because it'll have the same issues like the accelerators, where when you take, if you were to take the bag off and look at it, you'd have that coating of grass and stuff on the inside mesh of the bags as well. When you have it on the mower and you just use your blower to blow the sides and stuff, it'll knock all that down. That's probably the easiest thing to do, because the fabric is it's flexible. So as you're blowing it, it's kind of rippling and stuff, and it knocks everything down, the water, the grass clippings that are stuck on the side. And that's just the easiest thing to do. You could, you know, go in there with a glove and scrape the sides, the insides of the bag if you wanted to. But I found that just the blower is the easiest thing to do, and it'll knock it down, and that'll greatly improve any sort of wet grass type situations that you have to do. It's what's allowed me for 19 years to be able to mow lawns in the rain, through hell month, through, the entire season, from fall leaf cleanups and all that sort of stuff, everything, whether they're wet or not, those are the tips, the things that I've, some discovered on my own, some things just from experience of just, years and years of dealing with wet grass, of, wet grass being life, for me. So hopefully, those tips, will help you guys, on what you're doing out there if you're having to deal with those conditions, and what to do in terms of purchasing battery equipment for wet conditions. And I think, like I said before, seriously something that you should be thinking about if you even don't plan on mowing lawns in the rain. There's always times you're going to be caught in the rain, always times that you might be transporting equipment in the rain, where that seriously could be an issue for you. So that's it for this one, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.